You are now listening to the Fantasy Filler Podcast, where we put you in the driver's seat every week, all year long. In the NASCAR racing world, from top news stories, latest results, and best fantasy lineups, we'll have you up to speed and out in front before the drop of the green flag. So let's dive in with our host, Vanilla Wafers.
It is now time for a stretch of road courses here in the NASCAR Cup Series schedule as we now make the return to the Indianapolis Motor Speedway's road course event. We will also be having Watkins Glen come up next week, and then we'll wrap up the regular season with Daytona. Let's talk about the final picks and our biggest news of this week on today's episode of the Fantasy Filler Podcast. You know, unfortunately, this episode was going to have multiple guests. As I realized when I was going on Buzzsprout, which is the host channel on where I make all these videos at, this was going to be episodes 300. I know it says like 301 at this point or 302. I must have miscounted. I must have skipped a few numbers. But this would have been episode number 300. And first off, what a crazy journey it has been. 300 episodes already. We started this back all the way in the spring of 2020, and we're still going strong to this day. So thank you all who have been there from the beginning, or the people who have just shown up here in the past few months, past few weeks. Maybe this is your first episode. You're just like, man, this guy's got 300. What kind of content does he make? Well, unfortunately, I cannot get guests to come on here anymore because Armani, who won last weekend in Fantasy Picks, as well as Johnny from Johnny on the Track, both canceled at the very last minute. So it's just going to be me today. But that's okay. We've been doing that the last few episodes, so it's really going to be nothing too different. And I'm going to do my best to have a very entertaining episode for you guys today because, yes, episode 300. I think that's a huge number. Maybe one day we'll hit 500 a couple years down the road, and that will be absolutely insane. We'll see what happens. Maybe we change the process of the podcast, but still, 300 episodes. What a journey it has been. This weekend should be an interesting one here in the NASCAR racing world as we have another road course on the schedule. Last road course that we had a first-time winner in his first ever race with Shane Van Gisbergen. And the races down in the Xfinity Series have also been exciting as well. More specifically, the race at Portland was pretty wacky, so I don't expect this race to be any different as a lot of people are starting to focus on who can make it into the playoffs. And here in this race in the Cup Series, we have a couple of first-time racers coming on in. You got Kamui Koyabashi, I hope I said that one right, and Brody Kostecki, both supercar drivers from around the world. There will be a total of 7 countries representing this weekend. So who knows what's going to happen? Maybe we get another first-time winner in their first ever race. It is doable. I mean, if you have looked at the past stats of Brody himself, he sometimes edges out Shane Van Gisbergen when it comes to the supercars. So there is definitely a lot of excitement here going into this weekend. But before we cover our top fantasy picks, why don't we look at this week's news? Because we definitely have some pretty shocking news that have came out here in the past couple of weeks. One of the biggest news here this weekend and all throughout the last 10 days has been the situation regarding Noah Gragson. Now, if you guys remember what happened to Noah Gragson, he got suspended from Legacy Motor Club. It wasn't NASCAR at first. It was just Legacy Motor Club saying, nah, we're not going to have you in the number 42 car here this weekend. We're going to have instead Josh Berry. Well, it was just announced a couple days ago that it looks like Noah Gragson has asked for his release from the team. Now, this is not Legacy Motor Club letting him go. This is Noah Gragson stepping out under his own doing. So this is the statement he made. He said, I have asked Legacy Motor Club to release me from my contract so that I can take time to work through the NASCAR reinstatement process. I love racing and I'm looking forward to a second chance to compete for wins at the highest level of NASCAR. And most importantly, make my family, my team, and my friends proud of me once again. Now, if you're very new to this story, like you have no idea what's going on, basically, he liked a tweet that involved George Floyd in kind of an offensive manner. It was a meme that shouldn't have been a meme. And people saw it. They saw, you can see it clear as day, Noah Gragson has liked this tweet, which is kind of silly on his part. I mean, if you're going to like controversial stuff, I'm not saying that in particular, but let's say there's something else that you like that maybe people would shy away from in the main spotlight. Have yourself a burner account. Noah Gragson did not do that. He did that on his main account, so very silly on him. But it was brought to a lot of people's attention, and they thought that letting him go from the 42 car or not having him race in the car was the proper move. And there was already rumors as it was, as it's been a really, really rough season for Noah Gragson. I think a lot of people expected way more out of him, maybe a couple of top 10s here and there, and that has not been the case. He's been right back there with the backmarker teams like Rick Ware Racing and Live Fast. Even though I really like those teams, let's be honest here, they're not the strongest teams at all. And we expect Legacy Motor Club to be running more by the top 20, not back there for 34th, 35th, but that's just been the case for Noah Gragson. And they're moving to Toyotas next year, and there was a lot of rumors that John Hunter Nemechek was coming into the number 42 car. So it makes sense for Noah Gragson to step away. I don't know where he's going to land after this. I don't know if it's going to be a Cup Series car. Maybe he goes back down to the Xfinity Series like Cole Custer. Maybe he even starts completely fresh like John Hunter Nemechek did. If you guys remember, John Hunter Nemechek raced in the Cup Series a couple years back, and it was a pretty bad performance. It really was. He really struggled, and he got let go after 1 year. Then he goes down to the Truck Series with Kyle Busch Motorsports. Now he's up with Joe Gibbs Racing, running for a championship in the Xfinity Series, and now people want to get him into a Cup Series car ASAP. So there is a chance for second chances. The question is it going to happen for Noah Gragson, a driver who had a lot of success in the Xfinity Series? Can he repeat that success, or does he stay up in the Cup Series and maybe have a better turnaround than 2023? Some news and rumors that can be put to rest is regarding Michael McDowell and Todd Gilliland, as a lot of people were really concerned on where these two drivers were going to go and if they were going to be leaving Front Row Motorsports. Zane Smith has been a top topic for Front Row Motorsports, as many people were expecting him to maybe move up full-time here in the Cup Series with Front Row Motorsports, but it was just announced just a couple days ago that Michael McDowell and Todd Gilliland are returning to Front Row Motorsports in 2024. This is honestly the right move. Michael McDowell is good with smaller teams. I know there was talks about him going to Stuart Haas Racing. I just don't think that would have been a great fit for him, to be honest with you. There's some drivers who just capitalize and do really well with smaller teams, and I feel like Michael McDowell has always been one of those drivers. Todd Gilliland, first off, there's a relationship there with the Gilliland family in Front Row Motorsports, more specifically David Gilliland and his time there with Front Row Motorsports. But Todd Gilliland has been with this team for a very long time as well. And there was rumors for a while that looked like he was on his way out. Actually, it wasn't really rumors. It just looked like it, because you had Todd Gilliland not running the full season. It looked like he was going to miss six races because they want Zane Smith to be in the car. Well, he has quickly proved to everybody that he has greatly improved in that number 38 car and that he can run in NASCAR's top series. He's really shown it. So I don't really see any reason why Todd Gilliland should leave that 38 team. That 38 team constantly keeps making improvements. It's looked stronger than it ever has been before. Michael McDowell is currently trying to make it into the playoffs just on points alone, something I never thought I'd see Front Row Motorsports do. But here we are in 2023. They're running really solid, so there's really no reason for anything to switch up over here. The question now remains where Zane Smith is going to go, because a lot of people are thinking Zane Smith is going to eventually move to another team, maybe a Ford team. Maybe someone like Stuart Haas Racing is going to be keeping their eye on Zane Smith. Who knows? That's just a rumor right now. But one thing is for certain, the two drivers who will be running the Cup Series for Front Row Motorsports will be the same drivers that we see here in the 2023 season. Looking at some of the smaller series real quick, we'll run through a few of these news stories that popped up. If you guys know who Greg Van Alst is, he was the driver who won the ARCA Daytona race in such a feel-good story, and he's been running a few truck races here and there, and I think he even ran a couple Xfinity Series races. Well, now he is going to be running the remainder of the Truck Series season with Young Motorsports. Young Motorsports has been struggling recently. They typically can have one or even two trucks miss a show. So they're looking for someone who has a lot of consistency, or maybe can get the team pointed in the right direction. Greg Van Alst could be one of them. He runs a super small team in the ARCA series. Maybe he can bring some knowledge to this truck series team. I mean, they do run three trucks as it is. That number 20 truck has been struggling the most. If he can qualify into events and keep the truck clean, that's exactly what they need. And Greg Van Alst could be one of those drivers who can do it. So expect to see him for the remainder of the truck series season in that number 20 truck. And in the Xfinity series, there's also been some news coming down here, as more specifically focusing on the next few races here in the 2023 schedule. So you guys are well aware who Jordan Anderson is. Jordan Anderson is now a driver slash owner in the Xfinity Series. He hasn't been running hardly any races since his fiery incident that happened at Talladega Super Speedway last year in the Truck Series. But it's been a good season for him so far, as he's been able to get a victory with his driver Jeb Burton, who has locked himself into the Xfinity Series playoffs. And it was announced that he will be back behind the wheel at the Daytona race here in a couple weeks in the Xfinity Series, with his father-in-law, Larry McReynolds, being his crew chief for the team's third entry at Daytona. So he's probably going to be running the number 32 car, but this is going to be great. I can't wait to see Jordan Anderson. I hope he's able to qualify his way in, because I'm pretty sure there's going to be more than 38 cars trying to make it into that Daytona race. But I hope he has a really good run. He just makes it to the very end, maybe able to finish inside the top 10. I think that would be the best turnout for Jordan Anderson. But the fact that he's getting back into a race car after his scary, scary incident that happened almost a year ago, that says a lot about this driver. It proves that Jordan Anderson is a racer at heart. He's not going to let anything hold him back. And I can't wait to see him be able to run in this event in that number 32 machine with one of the most beloved America's crew chief, is what they like to call him, Larry McReynolds, up there on the pit box. That's going to be a lot of fun, I can already tell. Now moving on to some big implications going on into the playoffs for the Xfinity Series. One driver that's locked in is Cole Custer and the 00 Stewart Haas Racing Team. Well, it was just announced that after the Michigan International Speedway race, the splitter was confiscated from the car during Friday's inspection, meaning that they will be assessed an L1 penalty. What does that mean? That means the crew chief is going to be fined $25,000, and the team and driver has been assessed with a loss of 20 points towards the regular series championship and 5 NASCAR playoff points. Basically, one victory has been stripped away from the 00 car. They're definitely absolutely shocking right here. These guys are testing it to the absolute limit. And for a team like Cole Custer's team, I know they're trying to put their name in that hunt for the regular season championship. I think at one point they were within a race reach. They were 4th in points. So I see why they tried to get away with this. But at the same time, now you have put yourself in a spot, instead of having 15 playoff points as it stands, that will be now reduced to 10. And that puts you behind drivers like John Hunter Nemechek and Austin Hill even greater. But now you also have Justin Allgaier, who sits with 3 playoff points ahead of you, and Chandler Smith now only sits 3 points behind you. And many people may think to themselves, oh, you know, it was only going to be 5 points. Trust me, here when it comes to the playoffs, every point matters, and have 5 points taken away, it's going to be pretty interesting to see if this is going to affect the team negatively. Of course it's going to affect them negatively, but how are they going to handle this adversity now going to the end of the regular season, as well as the first couple of rounds in the playoffs? That will be very interesting to see, but the team themselves has been penalized. It doesn't look like they're going to be trying to get it appealed. So this penalty will stay with Cole Custer's team and the 00 down in the Xfinity Series. There was also some announcements that it looks like Martin Truex Jr. Ryan Truex will be returning for some races here in the 2024 season, and Ryan Ellis will be competing full-time for Alpha Prime Racing in 2024. So more drivers getting announced here in the Xfinity Series that will be running in the 2024 season. As far as the most recent news, especially news regarding some drivers who are running here this weekend in the Cup Series race, all signs at this point points to Shane Van Gisbergen moving to NASCAR's next season. This is no surprise at all. I mean, you get your first victory and everyone wants you in NASCAR. It is not confirmed yet if he's going to be running the full season or not, as Trackhouse Racing only has 2 charters. If they're going to try to lease another charter from another team, who knows at this time. But they are looking to finalize that deal with Shane Van Gisbergen. I think it's the right call. I mean, for God's sakes, he got a victory at the Chicago Street Course when it was his first ever race in a NASCAR. That's unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. And now he's going to be running the race at the Indianapolis Raceway Park for Nice Motorsports. So if you want to watch that, that should be on right now when you're listening to this episode. Shane Van Gisbergen moving to the Cup Series needs to happen. And it looks like Trackhouse Racing is going to do everything they they can. Whether that is with an open charter car or a charter car, we shall see here in the coming weeks. And William Byron has just made the news. This is new news. And it looks like he has failed Indianapolis pre-race inspection 3 times. This means that the car chief has been ejected. He has lost pit selection for this event. Will not be permitted to qualify, and he'll start at the tail end of the field, and he will have to serve a pass-through penalty after taking the green flag. Ooh, it is not going to be a great start for the 24 team here this weekend. It looks like it's going to be a rough going for them. So I'm not going to lie. Maybe it's best to stay away from William Byron after hearing this bit of news here this week. But I think at this point we have kind of used up William Byron as much as we were going to. So I don't think there's going to be no harm, no foul as far as fantasy looks. But definitely not a great way to start for this number 24 team who's running for the regular season championship. This is almost cementing Martin Truex Jr. winning that regular season championship, as he was able to make big ground on him the past couple of races. And now he's already starting with a deficit here in this race, as at the beginning he's going to have to do a pass-through penalty. So I don't expect him at all to be getting any stage points here in the first stage of this race, minimum. So those were the biggest news here this weekend. Definitely some surprising news, both good and bad. Mostly good. I mean, I think the one that I'm most excited about is seeing Jordan Anderson coming back into the Xfinity Series to run another race, and having Larry McReynolds. Like I said, that's going to be really cool. So I really hope they make it into that event. But without further ado, it is now time to dive into what we love the most about these episodes, and that is figuring out which drivers do we want to rely on this weekend for our fantasy picks. Which drivers are good ones to go with? Which drivers should we stay away from? It's going to be interesting here this weekend as we have the Verizon 200 at the Brickyard. So without further ado, here are our top picks here for the Indianapolis Motor Speedway Road Course. Oh my gosh. I had to take about 10-minute break there. Now, I know for you guys it was only 5 seconds, but I decided to pause the recording there because I don't know what it is here in my little studio. I don't know if there's some buildup somewhere, but I just had this horrible, horrible cough, and it almost felt like there was liquid in my lungs. Don't worry, it's not, I don't think it's anything severe, but my goodness, that kicked my ass for a couple minutes. But now I feel a little bit better, so we can continue on. But here in this race for the Indianapolis Road Course, we're going to be focusing on how drivers have done in past road course races. Obviously, the sooner they were, the better. And we are also going to take into the fact what races are left on the schedule. So most of our drivers at this point have 1 or 2 picks. So we're going to have to be really smart on who we go with here in the coming weeks. Now, here for the top picks, I'm going to do my best to include one from each manufacturer and then 2 drivers from any manufacturer and pick them as top tier contenders regardless. So let's see if we can predict the winner here in one of these 5 drivers. The first one, let's start off with Ford, who's going to be the top representative for Ford here this weekend. Now, a lot of people have been saying that it has been RFK Racing, and I feel like to a point it has been. Is it going to be the same here for this road course race? I don't know. I don't think so. I feel like Chris Buescher is going to have himself another good race. Don't get me wrong. I just don't think he's going to be running for the victory. I think it's going to be another solid top 10 run. So expect him to be in the pretty good category. Expect him to be a number 3 pick. But I don't see Chris Buescher going back to back to back. I mean, he has really shown a lot of improvements here as far as RFK as a whole has. And road courses have been a really good spot for him. But what I'm seeing is still only a top 10 car. Driver who should do really good in this race and has shown some really good results so far, especially when it comes to strategies at road courses, has been Joey Logano. And I'm looking at these next few races coming up. I think this is going to be his best showing. Watkins Glen could have its moments, as well as Daytona, but we know Joey Logano when it comes to super speedway races. There's a very good chance that he's going to be out of the race 70% of the time before it's all said and done. And Watkins Glen, I don't know. I feel like that's mostly dominated by Joe Gibbs Racing and Rick Hendrick for the last few years. It's really felt like that. But here at the Indianapolis Road Course, there's still been a lot up in the air. And Joey Logano has been pretty consistently qualified up front, been running up front. I know in the first race here, he had himself a really rough finish, but how much can we really blame him on that? The track was falling apart. He had nowhere to go, goes right into the tire barrier. Before that, he was running pretty decently. And let's look at the past few finishes at road courses. An 8th place finish at the Chicago Street Course, a 3rd place finish at Sonoma. Like I said, he may not be the top running car overall in the race, but for the most part, he has been very consistently running up front. And I feel like in this race, he's going to score himself some good stage points. And I don't know if he'll be exactly running for the victory, but if I had to pick a Ford right now out of the bunch, I think Joey Logano is head and shoulders as a top pick for that manufacturer. Going over to the Chevrolets, there's a lot of good drivers to go with. I got 3 Chevrolets here in the top pick, so spoiler alert. Actually, let's save the Chevrolets. Let's go over to the Toyota camp. I think the top representative for Toyota is still Tyler Reddick in that number 45. Tyler Reddick is the most recent winner here, so there's no reason not to trust him as of right now. He has shown some really good runs here the past few road courses. Yes, the finishes have not been there. How much can we really blame him on that? That's for you to decide. But he has always shown speed when it comes to road courses. Sonoma was the only one in the last few races where he was not able to lead a lap, but he was running mostly inside the top 10 that entire race. Chicago Street Course, he was able to lead 8 laps, running in the second position, able to score stage points. I still think Tyler Reddick is the top representative for that camp, even more so than Martin Truex Jr. when it comes to the road courses. Will Martin Truex Jr. have himself a good race? I think so. Will it be at the same level as Tyler Reddick? That I do not see. So Tyler Reddick, in my eyes, is the top pick for the Toyota camp, and who knows, maybe he's going to be able to go back-to-back. If he is able to qualify in the front row, then there's a very good chance that he is going to be winning this race. Now let's look at the Chevrolet camp. We have 3 Chevrolets here, as I already spoiled that. I think the first one we got to put on here is Chase Elliott. Chase Elliott needs to turn things around, and this is his make or break. Everyone has always said road courses, road courses, road courses, road courses. And as of right now, I agree that that is definitely going to be his best opportunity. He has not been the king of road courses lately. But here in this race, when there's more pressure than ever, he's got to perform. He's got to perform here in this race. He has had some good finishes here in the past. He's had some good finishes at the most recent road course events. He has not finished worse than 5th place so far this year when it comes to road courses. So I don't know. I think Chase Elliott looks to be a good option to go with here this weekend. And he's definitely going to do everything he can to turn things around. I mean, at this point, if you're Hendrick Motorsports, I think the people you focus on the most is that number 9 car and that number 48 car, so they're able to make it into the playoffs. I don't see Alex Bowman winning here at this road course event, but I do see Chase Elliott. Another driver who really needs to focus on points and do anything he can to get in is AJ Allmendinger in the number 16. He is a more recent winner here at road courses. In fact, he won the inaugural race here at the Indianapolis Road Course. He's been all around really good here. Been able to finish in the top 7 in both the Cup Series races. Got a victory here in the Xfinity Series. There's no stopping AJ Allmendinger this weekend. I think he's going to be a top representative. He's going to be able to gain a lot of points here this weekend. I think this one's a slam dunk. You're going to rely on Allmendinger as a number 1, number 2 pick. And let's include one of the most hyped drivers that we have seen in a very, very long time. Yep, I'm going to do it. I'm going to put Shane Van Gisbergen as a top pick here for this weekend. He shows me no signs that he is going to struggle here in this race. He really doesn't. And if he's anything like Marcus Ambrose was always dominant at road courses, and he comes from the same breed of racers. So Shane Van Gisbergen should be running up front there. Will he be able to go back-to-back? I don't really see that one happening. But if it does, oh my God, can you see the headlines here in the NASCAR racing world? Supercar drivers are better than NASCAR drivers in their own cars at road courses. I could totally see that. I could totally see that one being a headline. And Shane Van Gisbergen has been that one driver who has really put a lot of people thinking that. Marcus Ambrose, if he was still racing, would probably be right there in that mix. But we don't have Marcus Ambrose anymore. We got Shane Van Gisbergen here at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway road course. So those are our top picks here for this weekend. We had the number 22 of Joey Logano, the number 45 of Tyler Reddick, the number 9 of Chase Elliott, the 16 of AJ Allmendinger, and the 91 of Shane Van Gisbergen. Now we move on to the rest of our top 10 as far as fantasy picks go. These are drivers that we feel like are going to be doing really well here in this race. And let's start off with an easy one here. We talked about him during the top picks, and that's Chris Buescher. Chris Buescher should be running inside the top 10. I really have no fear about that. He's been one of the most consistently finishing top 10 drivers when it comes to road courses. So, yeah, that's all we need to say. There's a lot of momentum on his side. Chris Buescher, rely on him. At the pure minimum, he's a number 3 pick. But as far as the other picks go, there is still a lot up for debate. And I think right now, the drivers we're going to focus on here in the pretty good category are the drivers who are right around the cutoff line. So let's include drivers like Michael McDowell, Ty Gibbs, and Austin Cindric. Let's go through each of these drivers one by one. So Michael McDowell in the number 34 machine. What has he proven in that number 34 car here at road courses? Well, quite a lot, actually. With a 7th place finish at Sonoma, a 7th place finish at the Chicago Street Course, an 8th place finish at the most recent running of the Indy Road Course. Yeah, there's a lot of consistency here, even slightly better than Chris Buescher. As far as an overall average goes, he's more than likely going to be running in that same position again. He needs to run around that position if he's able to make up any points on the drivers in front of him. And there's a good chance that he's going to be able to do that based on his past runnings here in this race. Yeah, I see Michael McDowell having himself a pretty solid run here. Same thing with Ty Gibbs. Ty Gibbs has really turned up the burners here in the past few weeks. And road courses, we knew he was good at road courses in the past. I mean, especially in the Xfinity Series, he had some really strong victories there, including his first ever race in the Xfinity Series. But here in the Cup Series, also some really good finishes. Sonoma, it was a little off for him. But the Chicago Road Course, he was able to finish 9th in that race, lead one lap. Circuit of the Americas finished 9th in that race. As even though that 18th place finish does kind of worry us at Sonoma, I would say the Indy Road Course is more similar to the Street Course as well as Circuit of the Americas. Not much elevation and declines around the racetrack compared to Sonoma. It's definitely a flat racetrack. We saw what he was able to do at Chicago. It was very consistent runs for that number 54 team. And Ty Gibbs should be right there in that mix. So expect him to be another one of those drivers flirting with the top 10. And finally, Austin Cindric, probably the driver we are the least trustworthy with, as he has had himself kind of a rough season. But if he can turn his season around, it will definitely be at a road course event. I think we've been saying that for quite a long time. So is he going to be able to do it here this weekend? That's up for debate. It really is. I don't know what he's going to be able to do in that number 2 machine. But last year at this race, he was able to run really good. He was able to finish 2nd. In the Chicago Street Course, he was able to finish 6th. Some pretty good finishes. Again, the only race he struggled at the most was Sonoma. And can we really hold that against him here at a racetrack that's flat compared to one that had a bunch of inclines and declines, similar to Ty Gibbs? I don't think we can really hold that over him that much. And he needs to turn things around. He is another one of those drivers that needs to get the victory. So he's going to put everything he can into that number 2 car. I still think Joey Logano is still the little bit of an edge for him because of the overall consistency that 22 car has, as well as getting the extra stage points. Austin Cindric's not focusing on stage points anymore. He's got to get the victory. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. He has to get the victory if he wants to make it into the playoffs. So that's what he's going to focus on. Keep an eye on him in qualifying, as I think that's going to be a big telltale on how he's going to run here in this race. If he is qualifying anywhere like he did, similar to Sonoma, then maybe stay away from him. But based on what we have seen in the past, he qualifies really well here. And oh, by the way, this is also a Penske track, so you know that team is going to give everything they can to wind up in victory lane. Now, we just have one more spot here in the pretty good category. Who do we give it to? We definitely don't give it to William Byron, as we just talked about it. He will be in the back, and his best finish here has been 31st. So, yeah, even though he was able to qualify on the pole a couple years back, at this point, it looks like the journey for William Byron in the regular season has come to an end. Well, which is not a bad thing. I mean, he's been able to score a bunch of stage points or playoff points. Gosh, I am just all over the place here. It's the 300th episode, and I still don't know how to talk on a podcast. We could also throw Kyle Larson in that mix, and I think that would be a really good option as well, as Kyle Larson's definitely one of those more consistent ones. Or do we throw in the number 8 of Kyle Busch? Because Kyle Busch has had himself some really solid finishes at road courses lately. And that number 8 car, we know that number 8 car runs good at road courses because of Tyler Reddick's success he had last year. This is kind of a tough one. If we're looking at more recent races, then we're relying on Kyle Larson, because Kyle Larson has had himself some pretty solid finishes. As far as the most recent races for Kyle Busch, it has been pretty lackluster. But if you just put the sole focus on road courses, looks like that number 8 car has had a better average finish. A 5th place finish, a 2nd place finish, and a 2nd place finish, while Larson has only had a 4th place finish, an 8th place finish, and a 14th place finish. Still really good numbers. I think if you go with either or, I think at this point you should be pretty comfortable as far as whichever one you want to go with. I think if you have one pick of each, I think you go with Kyle Busch here, and then you save Kyle Larson for Watkins Glen, so if you're in that situation. But I think either way, either of these drivers will be really good for a lot of fantasy groups. So those are our drivers here in the pretty good category. We have the number 17 of Chris Buescher, the number 34 of Michael McDowell, the number 54 of Ty Gibbs, the number 2 of Austin Cindric, and you're going with a Chevrolet, you're either going to be going with Kyle Larson or Kyle Busch. Now it is time to move into the final category as far as fantasy picks go, and that is the Take a Gamble category. Which drivers do we want to put in our garage area that could pay out dearly when it's all said and done? There's a lot of drivers here that are on a lot of people's minds, and who knows if it's all smoke and mirrors or if they're going to be very valuable to go with here this weekend. I think as far as the newcomers go, the number 67 and number 33, those drivers are ones you're going to watch in practice and qualifying. I think they're worth the gamble if they do have themselves some pretty decent runs overall during the weekend. Like Kamui Kobayashi, he's running good equipment. He's with 2311. 2311 has had themselves some pretty good running equipment. Same thing with Richard Childress Racing. I mean, these guys are not running backmarker teams like Jensen Button or I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have said Jensen Button because he's running with Stuart Haas Racing. Technically, he just has a number 15 car or 15 car for this weekend. Still, with that being said, I feel like you have to watch on how these guys do throughout the weekend. If we get no results, maybe rain just covers the whole area, which more than likely is going to happen just because of how this year has played out, then maybe you don't trust them. But if you think it could be something similar to what we saw with Shane Van Gisbergen, give these guys a try. Yeah, absolutely. Especially if you have drivers like Chase Elliott, Tyler Reddick, Kyle Larson, Kyle Busch, all with one pick left. You got to be smart here in these final few weeks. And if they show any signs that they can run inside the top 10, that's a good, good replacement. So Kobayashi in the number 67 or Gostecki in the number 33, those drivers, keep an eye on what they're able to do here this weekend and consider them drivers to take a gamble on. Let's look at some drivers who are running full season right now. I mean, we don't want to really just focus on part-timers here, as these final three drivers are drivers that have shown success here in the past when it comes to road courses. First one being the number 99 of Daniel Suarez. Daniel Suarez, man, when is he going to turn things around? He has to turn things around here this weekend, definitely. Road courses should be, on paper, his best tracks, but he has not had a good finish this year at a road course yet. His best finish has been a 22nd place finish, and that's definitely scary, even when he has good qualifying. Let's look at his qualifying for the last few road courses. 5th, 9th, 5th, 3rd, 9th, 11th. 8th, 2nd, just really good qualifying position. So why hasn't he been able to execute? I don't know if he's putting a lot of pressure on himself, but the team has speed. The team absolutely has speed, and he's probably going to show it once again here this weekend. The only question is he going to be able to execute when it's all said and done, when it matters the most? That's what you got to decide on. He is definitely a big gamble pick. But as we've seen in speed, he should be a top 10 car. So if you feel really comfortable with the drivers you have on your roster as of right now, then give someone like Daniel Suarez a chance. A driver that's been surprising a lot of people as far as his road course performance has been the number 31 of Justin Haley. I think Justin Haley's actually worth a gamble this weekend. And it's not solely due to the fact that he had a 2nd place finish in the Chicago Street Course, because that kind of worked in his favor. He's had a few top 10 finishes here and there at some pretty tough racetracks. Even the most recent race here, or not the most recent, the inaugural race here at the Indy Road Course. Oh, and by the way, he was able to finish 5th in the Charlotte Roval. Another team that works well with strategies. You know, strategies are going to play out in this race. That's just how road courses act. They have to have strategies here and there. And Justin Haley and Colleague Racing has really been able to execute on that very well with this number 31 car. I think the stronger car is definitely going to be AJ Allmendinger, but Justin Haley should show some speed when it's all said and done. one more spot left as far as a driver to take a gamble on. Let's give it to the number 14, a Chase Briscoe. And Chase Briscoe, this is going to be his best shot, in my personal opinion. His best shot to make it into the playoffs at this point. I don't see him doing it at Watkins Glen. I don't see him doing it at Daytona. This is the race where you focus on that number 14 car. Good qualifying speed. Has been able to lead laps in both Indy road course races. Just has to execute. And the 14, as well as Stewart Haas Racing as a whole, has been making some minor improvements this year. Hasn't been leaps and bounds, but it has been minor improvements. And that could be a sign to show you that, hey, maybe he's worth a gamble. I think he's in the same spot as Justin Haley. You have to have a lot of safe picks. And what I mean by safe picks is drivers we feel very confident that can make it to the end, not drivers who have shown speed but haven't been able to finish. No, you want safe drivers when it comes to Chase Briscoe as well as Justin Haley. But Chase Briscoe could really, really help people out if he's able to get that solid qualifying position and get that finish to back it up. Because I'm telling you, he is definitely one of those drivers we have not used that much here this year. And I know we have a lot of picks left for him, and he's going to do everything he can, like a lot of these other drivers, to make it his way into the playoffs. So those are the five drivers we're going to take a gamble on here this weekend. Let's go from top to bottom. We have the number 67 of Kamui Kobayashi, the number 33 of Bodhi Gostecki, then we have the number 99 of Daniel Suarez, the number 31 of Justin Haley, and the number 14 of Chase Briscoe. And then let's wrap up our fantasy picks with our featured matchups here. Four featured matchups will be presented to everybody, and you got to make the decision on which one you think is going to beat the other driver just solely on positions, nothing to do with stage points. If you get it correctly, you get 10 extra points added to your final score. So these are very important. We got some good matchups here. Let's first start off with the first one being probably the most difficult one, and that is Chase Elliott in the number 9 going up against the number 45 of Tyler Reddick. This one should definitely be a pretty interesting one. We had them both as top picks here. I think when it, as far as overall performance goes, Tyler Reddick has been the driver. The one who has the most to lose has been Chase Elliott. Can Chase Elliott handle the pressure? Right now, it shows that he can't handle the pressure. But we've also seen in the past where he's had even more pressure than ever. He's been able to get victories and good finishes when it mattered the most. Yeah, this is honestly a coin toss. I think 60-40 relies on Tyler Reddick right now. If you're just looking solely at the 2023 season, he's definitely getting the favor. But I'm going to go with Chase Elliott. I think Chase Elliott can get the edge over Tyler Reddick. Both of them, very solid road course drivers. It's just, oh man, this is definitely going to be a tough one. And Chase Elliott has more to lose in this race than Reddick does. Next matchup here, we got Chris Buescher going up against the number 19 of Martin Truex Jr. Again, another really tough matchup, as Martin Truex Jr. has just shown no signs of slowing down. His performances have been great, but the one who's been getting the edge on him has been Chris Buescher recently. I'm going to go with consistency here. I like Chris Buescher overall. I think Martin Truex Jr. could have the higher ceiling, but he could also have a lower floor. Chris Buescher should be able to run around mostly inside the top 12 and finish inside the top 10. I like Chris Buescher in this matchup. Next, we have Shane Van Gisbergen and the number 33 of Brody Gostecki. This is the battle of the supercar champs. Oh my goodness. Can lightning strike twice and Shane Van Gisbergen can win? I don't know, but I think he's going to have himself a solid run. This one, watch practice. Watch practice. Watch qualifying. Get those numbers. That's going to be your decider. As of right now, you're going for Shane Van Gisbergen just for the simple fact that he has history here in NASCAR, while Brody does not. But still, you're going to have to watch these two drivers because it is definitely going to be very interesting to see what they're able to do. Who knows? Maybe these two will be running for the victory when it's all said and done, and we'll have two supercar drivers running for the victory in front of all the NASCAR drivers. Who knows? But right now, I got the number 91. And the last featured matchup here, we got Justin Haley going up against Michael McDowell. Justin Haley has had some solid finishes here. They've been mostly due to strategy. I like more consistency than strategy. I like Michael McDowell as far as these odds go because Michael McDowell definitely he's going to do everything he can for points, so he may even fall on that strategy side as well. I think Michael McDowell just has the edge overall against that number 31, no matter which way you look at it. So I'm going to pick Michael McDowell over Haley. So those are my four picks for the featured matchups. I got Chase Elliott over Tyler Reddick. I got Chris Buescher over Martin Truex Jr. I got Shane Van Gisbergen over Brody Gostecki in the number 33. And then finally, I got Michael McDowell over Justin Haley. And those have been our fantasy picks here for the Verizon 200 at the Brickyard. that will wrap things up here on today's episode, guys. 300 episodes. That's unbelievable. I'm still going to call it 301 because I'm going to be a pain in the ass. But this one is definitely episode 300. And I thank you guys so much for the journey it has been. It has been absolutely incredible. And even to this day, I continue to get surprises left and right. As I just had Black Flag Batters give me a shout out on Twitter for my YouTube channel. And that's unbelievable. That is really unbelievable because I put in a lot of hard work. I've been loving every minute of it. It's been a great hobby of mine. It could one day turn into my job. Who knows? We'll see what the future holds for me. But all of it started here with this podcast. So I see the growth here as well as the growth as all of my other social medias. All I can say is thank you guys so much. And the journey, I still feel like it's at the very beginning. And let's see what the future holds for this channel as well as the rest of the NASCAR racing world, because I'm super excited for what the future has in store for me as well as for everything that we have been able to accomplish the last 3 years. So again, thank you. If you want to follow me on other social medias, just look up Vanilla Wafers on Instagram, TikTok, or YouTube as I pop up on all of those. It's all NASCAR related, whether it's more humorous NASCAR, it could be trivial NASCAR, it could be history of NASCAR. All that stuff is talked about on all those other channels. So Instagram's at VanillaWafer33, TikTok is at VanillaWafer44, and YouTube is just at Vanilla Wafers. You'll be able to find all of those channels rather quickly. They're usually in the top three. You may just have to get by a cookie channel here and there because, you know, Vanilla Wafer. Yeah, most people know that as a cookie. if you want to talk to me during race day, Twitter is usually the best route to go, as I am usually on there just talking random shenanigans. So yeah, take a look at me there as well. That's at Vanilla Wafers 44 is where I am usually at during race day. So if you have any questions to ask me, that's the best place to reach me by. But that will wrap up today's episode, guys. Thank you so much for listening. And I have been your host, Vanilla Wafers, and I have been able to take you to the front of the field. So why don't we grab that checkered flag, do some burnouts, and head on out. So you all take care. This has been the Fantasy Filler Podcast.